Well, good morning, everyone. Let's
Good
open with
morning.
a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor it is to be able to gather. You are everywhere, and we can come to you and praise your name and alone or with a group, but it is good for a little body to gather together. There is something special about the spiritual involvement, environment and involvement when the body gathers together, and so we thank you for that. So lead us this morning and help us to truly praise you and to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Psalm 145, this is reportedly David's favorite psalm. It's actually a psalm that he entitled, it's really a singing song, and not so much, it's a talila. It's not so much a prayer song. We'll get that next week. But it is a very joyful song, and this was kind of his crown jewel in many people's estimation. I had one question for you that I've been pondering for the last 2 or 3 hours, and that is, what is the difference between praise and blessing? What is the difference between praising and blessing? And one of the conclusions that I think you can come to, you never see God praising man. You always see God blessing man. And you see man praising God, but you also see man blessing God. And so what's the difference? And we have in the first two verses here a real distinctive separation between the two, it seems to me. Verse 1 says, I will extol, that could be praise, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And then he flips it right around the second verse and does it backward. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. And so as we look at those two verses a little bit, it's kind of interesting that pops out at you. The first verse is, he's not praising the name of the Lord, he's praising the Lord himself, which is great. But then he comes right around in verse 2 and praises the name of the Lord. On the other hand, in verse 1, he does not bless the Lord, he blesses his name. Now, forever and ever means not only forever, but then you emphasize it doubly by saying forever and ever. So that's like eternity and eternity. Now, I can't even get to the first eternity, let alone another eternity, but it basically means there's no end. There's no end. So I will praise you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And then turning around, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. And so as we go through this psalm, see if you can get any clues as to praising and blessing and if there is a difference and what the difference is and when do you bless him and when do you praise him and when does I believe praise turns into blessing, actually. I really think blessing has an element of love in it that praise is not there. I think the whole animal kingdom praises the Lord, but I don't think any of the animal kingdom has the intellect to bless the Lord and to see the Lord blessed by their lives. And so I think one of the ways we bless the Lord is he sees our life and is blessed by it. So every day I will bless you. So that is in verse 2. He's not just blessing the name, but he's blessing you. And I think we need to be aware that when we praise God and when we bless God, are we praising him and his name? Are we really seeking him himself? And I think there's a big difference. We have, you know, Jacob would say with first time to Bethel, it was the house of the Lord. And he was gone for 30 years, probably longer than he should have been gone, but he did finally come back. And this time he even entered deeper and he didn't just say the house of the Lord. He said, this is the God of the house of the Lord. And many of us know the house of the Lord, but do we really know the God of the house? So I think there's a difference there as well. And so here is, I will bless you. I will bless you, O Lord. And then he goes on and he will expound in every possible way it could be said in this psalm that the Lord is great and marvelous and awesome and wonderful. It is said, it seems like. Verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and the greatness is unsearchable. Great, great, great. And then he picks it up great again down here in another verse. But great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable, meaning it has no end. You cannot search and find the bottom or the depth or the completeness of the greatness of the Lord. It's unsearchable. Isn't that wonderful? Now it says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Now I've been just kind of dwelling on this Psalm 71 verse 18 is kind of, you know, as I look in the mirror and I see I'm gray-headed, it says, you know what that says, but it says the same thing basically as this verse here. Now that I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, what? Until I declare your strength to the next generation, your power to everyone who will believe. That's why we're still here, old-timers. Now, some of you aren't old enough for this psalm yet, but not everybody. You know, on this side of the room, there's a couple of young ones here, you know, really, but I'm not so sure. Well, Bob, he's probably pretty young, too, and then John over there, he's just a teenager, but anyway, we read here that one generation shall praise your works to another. Are you doing that? And shall declare your mighty acts. Are you declaring that? Now, declaring his mighty acts often, I think, is easiest done through the example of his works. For example, creation. You can see his mighty acts in creation so clearly. But it's not just creation. Creation was done in a way a long time ago. I mean, in a sense. What, 6,000 years ago or thereabouts? But what has he done recently? What's he done in your life? What's he done in the last 100 years? Everyone in here that's a believer, he's done a wonderful, wonderful, magnificent, the most important thing to any of us, that he's saved us, right? Mm-hmm. He's transformed us. And he's still doing that. He did it yesterday, and he'll do it again today. So his mighty acts would certainly, in my opinion, be bringing us to Christ's likeness. I think that's the biggest thing he's ever done or ever will do. I think his creation of the church, the true church, in bringing every believer to Christ's likeness is the greatest thing that he has ever or will ever or could ever be done. And I look at myself, what a job that is for just one. Now go up to a billion of me and see how big a job that is. And it's pretty big, isn't it? Now, he says here in verse 5, and I pondered on this a while, I will ponder, or I will meditate on what? On the glorious splendor of your majesty. Have you meditated on that? What is the glorious splendor of his majesty? And it's even more personal. It's not in third person his, it's your majesty. Your majesty. We love that psalm, or not psalm, that prayer in John 17, and that one verse that I, my favorite verse, I think, is verse 24. It says that he gives the Father the only desire in the psalm. He says, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. What? So that you may behold my glory. He wants us to behold his glory. Now, what is that? Well, one of the things you look at is if I meditate on the glorious splendor of his majesty, you'll get a little bit of the idea of that glory, I guess. And he says, it's a glory which I had with you, Father, before the foundation of the world. So that's what he wants for us. It's just an amazing thing. So as you meditate on the glorious splendor of his majesty, I think that can take a while. And on your wonderful works. So that would include both your majesty and your wonderful works, meditating on those. Verse 6, men shall speak of the might. There's might again. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. They do, don't they? We do. And I will declare your greatness. That's for every believer. Every believer. Who is going to declare his greatness? Man. who is created in his image, man. The only one created in his image, man. So we are the ones that would want to, I think, declare his greatness. They, again, that's us believers, shall utter the memory of your great goodness, not just greatness, but goodness. And not just that, they shall sing of your righteousness. Now, those are some big words, there, aren't they? Greatness, goodness, righteousness. Amazing. Amazing. That word utter there means to bubble forth. Are you bubbling forth the memory of his goodness, his greatness, and his righteousness? When we read these verses, you know, despondency and depression and down in the dumps doesn't fit any of this, does it? Now, why? It seems to me there's a lot of Christians that are most of the time down. Now, I can understand ups and downs. I mean, you can't really always go up, 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 up. You go ups and downs. But I can understand being down most of the time. Now, there can be some reasons for this that, you know, you can be going through some things for a season that can really be heavy. I can understand that. But I would pray that we are not down most of the time, because I don't think we can give a good witness when we're down. Now the Lord, we're talking about the Lord here again. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Oh, that's a prayer. If you want to pray for me, pray for that. Not half full, not three quarters full, but full of compassion. Slow to anger and great in mercy. Wow, I got those reversed. I'm fast in anger and slow in mercy. But he is slow to anger and great in mercy. Now, this next verse, I think, is kind of the key central verse to it. And it just simply says, but profoundly says, the Lord is good to all. Isn't that something? How Christ-like are you? Are you good to all? I don't know about that one. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So when you see his awesome works, above all of that is his tender mercy. Think of that combination. Tender mercies are over all your works. Now, of course, all is mentioned 14 times in this psalm. That's amazing. 14 times all is here. Verse 10 again, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. So the works praise him. But I don't think the works bless him. Necessarily, I think we're the ones to bless him by our lives. And you can argue with that. Maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. And your saints shall bless you. That means what we're talking about here. The believers are to be the blessing ones. Not just you might bless, you shall bless. So I put down there, that includes me. All your saints. Are you a saint? Yes. If you're a believer, you're a saint. And you're a saint now. You're a saint the moment you believe. It's not something you become. You're already a saint. And your saints shall bless you. So there's no loopholes there. That means we're to bless him. We're to bless. And it's not just him. It's you. Bless you. Right, speaking to the Lord. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. Are we? Talk of your power. Are we? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. And then here's this term again, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. So that ties right back up to verse 5, where it says, I will meditate on the glorious majesty, on the glorious splendor of your majesty. And here again it says, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's everlasting. It's not something that hasn't happened yet. Now, we pray your kingdom come on earth, but his kingdom is not to be created. His kingdom is already there. It's not necessarily centered on earth yet, though, because we have another king on the throne yet right now, and that's Satan, or at least the prince of the power of the air is the alternative, but not much longer. But your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. There's a lot of eternity in this psalm, isn't there? Because that's who he is. And that's who we are, created in his image, also eternal. Verse 14, now we'll talk about some virtues of the Lord, basically. The Lord upholds or supports all who fall. Isn't that something? I thought it depended on me praying for that person. Well, prayer is good, but I'm not going to do much with supporting them. He's the one that supports them. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all, you got all in mind yet? The eyes of all look expectantly to you. Not to Uncle Sam, not to your elected officials. I mean, there's a responsibility there, but that's not what we're talking about here. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. I marvel at every time I see a gnat or whatever is flying around. When I'm in front of the computer or the screen, you know, if they go in front of the screen, you can see them pretty well, and it's a good time to clap your hands on them, and sometimes you get them, right? And almost always you get them. You always have a little spot of blood in them, right? They've always been feasting on you or somebody else, right? But he gives them their food in due season. In some cases, I just assume they got their food somewhere else, right? You open your hand and satisfy the desire. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. What do you desire? Where are you looking for your desire? Here he is, the satisfaction of the desire of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. Think of that. All his ways, all his works, righteous, gracious. Now, here's a great promise which you know. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Jeremiah 29:13, of course, says what those who seek him will find him if they seek him with all their heart, right? So isn't that a great promise? He's near to all who call. So if you run into somebody that says, well, I just can't find God anymore. I used to have a really close relationship with him, but he's gone. He's moved. He's never moved. Guess who's moved? Guess who's moved? The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who trust, or no, to all who call upon him in truth. I'm sorry. And then verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. Do you fear him? Now, when he says he'll fulfill the desires of your heart, I think those are the desires the Lord puts in your heart. Amen. I don't think it's the desires that you have in your own flesh, because he loves you too much to do that. He will also hear their cry and save them. Oh, thank you for that. He will hear their cry and save them. Beautiful. The Lord preserves all who love him. Do you love him? But all the wicked he will destroy. So it would appear that we don't have to do an awful lot of reminding to the Lord who's wicked. He already knows. And he's going to take care of it. But I think we want to pray to shut their mouths and remove the workers of iniquity from the binding, blinding and all that kind of a thing on the unbeliever? Yes. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, shall speak my mouth the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name. And I'm putting down by my life. Is my life a blessing? Is he being blessed by my life? And there's no end, forever and ever.
Yeah.
Is he being blessed by my life forever and ever and ever and ever? Father, we thank you for this beautiful psalm and the profoundness of it. And we thank you for, it's really David's psalm in a way, and yet it applies to every single one of us, Lord. And your righteousness and your gracious and your splendor and your magnificence and your faithfulness, and it's to all of us all the time. So Lord, help us to draw near to you. And Lord, you have given us that opportunity to communicate with you, probably the only created being there is that has that special language capability to communicate with you. The only creature that you communicated with during creation was man, and so at least with the language. And so, Lord, here we are this morning with that opportunity. We're here, you're here, and guide us and lead us by your Spirit, Lord, as you would have us to redeem these few moments together here in prayer. So lead us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to close just a little bit early because I have two songs of instruction. One is a praise song, and the word praise here is at least 35 times. It's a little bit loud, a little bit noisy. And then I'd like to close with a song of blessing. So the first song is called Praise, if you can believe it. It's a very complicated title. Praise. And so let's just stand and sing this if you're able to stand. It's kind of exciting, actually.
Praise is the water, my enemy shroud.
So that's a praise song, right? So let's have a bless the Lord, O my soul, here if we can find it.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Worship Your holy name. Bless You, time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Come bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy. Worship Your holy name, Lord, I worship Your holy name.
Let's close with a word of prayer. Grab a hand if you can find one. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the instruction and opportunity to see your name praised and see you praised, and then to bless you, Lord, and to see what a blessing you are to us. And so go before us today, Lord, and may we be a blessing to somebody. And may they see you in us. In Jesus' name, amen.